This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, Browns fans, and welcome to yet another edition of OBR Weekly. Fred Greetham and I are back, rested and ready. Well, kind of. After a Thanksgiving weekend and a Cleveland Browns victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing better today.
That's good to hear. Fred is a little bit under the weather, but is manned up to join us here tonight. And thank you for that, Fred. Appreciate it as always. As always, this show is about you and your questions and your comments. As I said in the chat, we're simply not to be trusted with the responsibility. I'm not to be trusted with the responsibility of this show. That's why we hand it over to you. Plus, I do really crappy show prep. But at any rate, please take the opportunity, if you after the show, to go hit up the OBR and check out all the great stuff that is on the site today. You got Fred with all the scoop from Berea. I mean, he's actually there as opposed to a lot of sites, which just sort of regurgitate what they hear on the radio or whatever. He's actually there. He's got all the scoop from Berea. We also got this Jake Burns character who has uploaded like 50 film clips of Deshaun Watson and the Browns offense, and is talking about how we're going to adapt, how he expects Kevin Stefanski is going to adapt the Browns offense to fit Deshaun Watson. So just some great stuff. As Commander of Awesome points out today, there were some great new Rumor Central tidbits and Ask the Insider questions answered today. All good stuff. So please hit up the site, enjoy, and let's talk Browns. So let's get right into it, Fred. Obviously, the huge news this week. We've already, in a couple previous shows, we talked about the Bucs game. Deshaun Watson back. Deshaun Watson taking the reps at first string quarterback today. Lots of excitement about that. Unfortunately, we didn't hear from Deshaun Watson today. Sort of an unusual decision from the team. Usually the quarterback talks on Wednesday. Fred's getting questioned where his shades are today. I guess, you know, Deshaun Watson not showing up. Have we heard anything from the Browns about whether Deshaun Watson is going to talk to the media before the game on Sunday?
No, we have not. I was sitting with an NFL Network producer on Sunday at the game in the press box, and they told me they requested, you know, that Deshaun spoke on Wednesday, and the PR said, well, it'd be Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were all there today. They all wanted him to talk today, ESPN, NFL Network, all the national, and he did not. I mean, it is kind of a disservice a little bit, because every Wednesday after a Sunday game or before a Sunday game, the starting quarterback talks. I mean, mm-hmm. when Baker Mayfield was declared out, Case Keenum talked.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett spoke every Wednesday. Obviously, if it was a Monday night game, you know, it was different. But, yeah, Wednesday is one of the spots as the starting quarterback. He did not appear today. He was in the locker room. I saw him at least twice walk in, get shoes, walk around. He didn't look like he was trying to avoid people. So I don't know if the Browns just didn't approach or set it up or tell him he was speaking, or if he asked to not speak. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would expect he would talk tomorrow. But then again, who knows?
Right, right.
Everybody, you know, at some point the quarterback has to speak. It's part of the NFL contract that they have to speak, the starting quarterback, after the game. And so I wouldn't think the first time he's going to speak is after the game. So I would think they'd get this out of the way either Thursday or Friday. The idea is that there's usually less people there on Thursday and Friday. It goes down every day. But I think the NFL Network, ESPN, all ended up staying overnight and will be there again tomorrow because that's their story. So yeah. I don't know if you're accomplishing anything if you think it's going to thin the herd out. So, again, I don't know what the Browns are doing. You know, even if you have – you don't want him to say the wrong thing on some non-football questions. Just you've had 3 months to prepare, no comment, or say a lot of nothing like Kevin Stefanski does. He could right. give him some lessons. But, no, a long version of that answer is no, he did not speak.
All right. Hey, Paul, I will file your question away for later. Thank you. Do you think it's a bigger story if Watson talks or if Watson doesn't talk? If Thursday goes by and he hasn't talked, do you think that the media makes a big deal out of that, you know, as much as they would if he did talk to the media?
Well, I mean, I think that it's obviously whatever happens going to be a story. And that's where I'm saying you might as well get it over with, because if you're not going to have him talk, you're asking all the players. I mean, we only talked to three players today, and right. two of them are defensive players. And what do you think all the questions were about?
Exactly.
Denzel Ward, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I mean, what do they have to do with Deshaun Watson, right. And Nick Chubb, his elaborate press conference was like four questions. You know, it was amazingly how quick it was, but
typical Chubb.
It's a kind of a disservice to the rest of the players as well. You know, I mean, after today, and they all said that, I mean, I think it's time to let him. And like I said, I understand if he doesn't want to, you know, answer his question any different than he did when he came back and he got crucified for it.
Yep.
Then all you have to do is say, I'm not, you know, under advisement of my lawyers, I'm not going to answer any questions pertaining to lawsuits or anything non-related to football. You know, since I've been here, I don't know if there's been any questions to him about football. You know, right. he had his introductory press conference, and about the first 45 minutes were about his lawsuits. Somebody threw a couple questions at him, but then everything else, all in training camp, anytime he didn't talk much, it's all been about his off the field behavior. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think you got to put that to rest. Just say, okay, I'm not talking about any of that anymore. Let's talk football. And then we kind of get into some routine, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that he would refuse to talk, but I would think that, again, lawyers or the Browns would just say, stay away from anything non-football right now. You still got a lawsuits hanging out there. To me, it seems like that'd be and I'm not a lawyer or anything like that. I'm just saying, get it over with. If
right.
I ask you about it and you say no comment, and I ask you about it again, you say no comment, and I ask you about it again, you say no comment, I think you're going to quit asking the questions.
Right, right. Just rip off the Band-Aid. Let's get it over and done with, and let's get back to football, which I'm going to do at this point, you know, because – you've got everybody else on the planet wanting to talk about the off-field stuff. All these people from the national media have descended, not because they want to see how Kevin Stefanski is going to adapt his offensive game plan, but because they want the big story when Deshaun Watson comes out and talks. And, you know, I don't blame them. That's where the what people outside of Cleveland, I guess, want to hear about, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, at any rate, we're going to focus on football and the OBR. I'm going to come back to Watson. But first, there were a couple questions in chat that I want to jump on because of today's injury report. We have the injury report is actually pretty good for the Browns. They've got five players, you know, sort of the expected group, Cooper, Clowney, Chubb, Betonio, who just rested today. But they have A.J. Green and Newsom, who were limited with concussion. Denzel Ward, who was limited because of ankle. And David and Njoku, who did not practice today because of the knee. So do we know yet the severity of what's going on with Njoku's knee? Is this more of a – do we know if it's more of a he's unlikely to play situation, or is it more of a he's only going to get a limited number of reps type of situation? We have any idea about that yet?
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
What do you think?
I think the answer is going to be that no information has been disseminated to the media whatsoever, and we're left to guess. That's my assumption.
You are correct. As far as we knew when we talked to Stefanski, he said that he was not going to practice today. And they said, is it because of the ankle injury? You know, he had a high ankle injury. It kept him out for two or three games. Said right. No. It's not the same injury. So that still led you to believe that might it was something to do with his ankle. Then it come out that's a knee injury. Okay. So that, but the last 2 weeks he was on the injury report with an ankle knee,
right?
You know, it had both of them. So I don't know, but all I do know is he caught a one-handed touchdown pass with 32 seconds to go in regulation. I don't know if he got hurt after that, but that was late, you know,
yeah.
Like they got the ball once in overtime, or was a couple times in overtime, I guess, but I didn't see anything like him going off the field. He spoke to us after the game and I did not see him limping or acting like he was injured. I know sometimes things pop up a day or two later, but I think it's just precautionary. Stefanski did say that we're just trying to be smart. We played an overtime game. Guys are coming off, you know, a longer mm-hmm. game and stuff. So but here again, I thought he was going to play, you know, I don't know if it was the Bengals game, you know, the one that he said he was optimistic, thought he'd play, you know. We saw him walking around, seemed to be fine. And then he didn't play for a week or two after that. So I don't know. I would think he'd be motivated to keep on playing, you know, after, you know, a big game like that, but who knows, but yeah, I think significant is Greg Newsom returned.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, and it means AJ Green must be out of the protocol to be limited to be on the field. So
right.
He was the only one injured. So Newsom and Green, I think, are good to go. I think you'll see them taken off the injury list by the end of the week. And, you know, as far as Njoku, you just got to keep an eye on, you know, does he practice Thursday or Friday? I think the history has been if they don't get back to the practice field by Friday, then they usually don't play. But even right. if they get back Friday, sometimes then they go into the game with a questionable. He was asked if he was going to rule him out, and he said no.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's a good thing that there's secrecy around this because undoubtedly it has thrown the Houston Texans into a tizzy trying to figure out if David Njoku is going to play or not. We'll just have to wait for this mystery to be revealed to us all in due time. But I agree with you. I view it as good news that the folks with the concussions are there limited and not completely out of practice. At any rate, let's talk a little bit more about Watson on the field. I'll just ask you in general, you know, with your expectations going into this game, what do you hope to see from Watson in this game? What are, you know, reasonable expectations, you know, from your perspective?
Well, I think, first of all, the biggest fear, you know, for the Texans, for the Browns, is that they don't want to screw up their number one draft pick. They have a two-game cushion with six to play to get the number one pick in the draft. And I think they are in tank mode. But with a two-game cushion, they could get emotionally fired up to win a game and not screw up their number one pick. So that's the biggest fear I believe the Browns have. Right. As far as Watson, I think what he needs to do, to be honest, is go up and drop 50 points on the Texans and shut everybody up and just get on to football. Not, you know, just kind of get it all and kind of put it out there. Right. No, I expect him to, I think he'll have a little rust, but he has been practicing for like 3 weeks. The biggest thing to me is NFL games are so much different. And I don't know how you guard against the soft tissue, the pulled hamstrings, or I know he has been practicing, but it just seems when you hit another gear, you know, you're afraid a guy would try to do a little more than he might be used to. And you could have an injury like that or something. You know, right. I kind of expect him to hit the ground running, to be honest. The Browns have the fifth-ranked rushing offense in the NFL, and that's with what they had. They had, as Jake so eloquently, and I recommend that you go take a look at his story and his videos showing what the difference will be with Deshaun Watson. That run pass option, when they know Jacoby Brissett is no threat and he gives it to Kareem Hunt, he gets dropped for a 1 yard loss. Knowing that if Watson pulls that in, he runs for 30 yards the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have to, all of a sudden, Kareem Hunt becomes a threat on that play when they're worried about Watson going the other way. So I just don't think people really, you know, can envision what can happen. They've done well, really well. They're 11th in the NFL in offense with a backup quarterback. And again, I'm not discouraging Jacoby Brissett, but he would have been a $40 million free agent signing if he was available, you mm-hmm. know, and he was this type of a quarterback. So, you know, I think that it will take a little time, but I think they have enough weapons that he can at least, even if he doesn't fully implement his running passing option offense, that he can still play as well, if not better, than Brissett did, even in his first game. So I think it's very optimistic to look forward to this. And I think it's unfortunate that he has to go to Houston and he has to go through all that. But I still think that he'll rise up and quiet a lot of people down there.
Yeah. You know, as many Texans fans who actually, you know, show up, you know, attendance is not great for that tanking team down there. But I tell you, for all the angst and all the introspection about the Browns signing of Watson. As a football fan, I am, to quote Sancho Bermuda in the Twitch chat, freaking pumped to see what Watson can do with the Cleveland Browns. We haven't seen a quarterback like this, frankly, in my experience, you know, with the Cleveland Browns. You know, Kosar, of course, was his own beast, great in his own way. Sipe was great in his own way. But Deshaun Watson is unique, and very, very excited to see what they're going to be able to do with Deshaun Watson, you know, what that does with the offense. And, you know, it's good that they get a game against an opponent that, you know, will let them try some things without maybe as much pressure as they might have from JT Watt or any of the top flight defenses which are around the league. Let's talk a little bit about
Let me say something here. You know,
yeah,
the Texans are 32nd ranked defense against the rush. You know, mm-hmm. they're giving up 168 yards a game. That's more than the Browns average. I think he can hand the ball off and they can run the ball like crazy, and he's not going to have to do a whole lot.
Right.
But that would allow him to get readjusted to game speed and then, you know, pick a spot here or there where he says, okay, I'm back. You want him to have that. He hasn't played in 700 days. You want him to have that. Okay, I'm back. I'm confident. Everything is ready to go. And like you said, whatever crowd's there, you want them silenced and you just want to take it to them and go to take the lead. I've covered the Browns a long time, and being a fan, what I saw of Watson when he was with the Texans. Now, we've seen a lot of teams change teams and really have been flops. The Russell Wilsons, the Matt Ryans.
Right.
It's hard for me to believe that when I've watched him in training camp and I talk to the players and they're saying he's making plays. They just shake their head. They cannot believe the plays he makes in practice, or the plays he makes in practice. With that being said, if he is what he was when he was with the Texans 2 years ago, and before that, when I watched him, he will be the best quarterback that I would have seen in my lifetime. Obviously I didn't see Otto Graham. Bernie Kosar was great, but he was not Deshaun Watson athletically. Right. And Brian Sipe was great, but he was not Deshaun Watson athletically. They were pocket passers and very smart guys. And so, yeah, I think the sky's the limit, and you can see why they're willing to put up with all the garbage they did, because it's now behind them. Mm-hmm. You know, now if he doesn't play well, that's another issue. But if he does at all what they were hoping he'd do, you know, it's all behind them now, not only for this year, but for the future. And there's six games left. Yeah, the season is pretty much sabotaged by the NFL by doing it that way with the 11-game suspension. And so they have a very tight window. They almost have to win every game, you know, I think, to make the playoffs. But as far as that, if you're a Browns fan, I think a lot of Browns fans, there's a lot that just walked away. But I would think if you're watching this tonight, or if you are still reading what we write and you're a Browns fan, you got to be ecstatic, because you have mm-hmm. a chance every game. I don't care if the defense is the worst defense in the NFL. This team can score 45, 50 points a game with this guy. I mean, they were scoring 26, 27 points a game with Jacoby Brissett.
Right, you know, right.
This guy can take a team down the field in less than 2 minutes. You know, there's explosiveness there. So I just think it might take some time, but I think you're going to get excited and get back to thinking about football. And I can just go by that, the quiet Browns fan. I posted some just bland comments from Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, and I got way more people looked at those today than typically
yeah.
look at things, because people are sucking up you know, any possible information about Deshaun Watson.
Right. And yeah, the TV ratings for this in Cleveland are going to be through the roof, you know, for multiple reasons. Really exciting stuff. Obviously, Kevin Stefanski either got 20 IQ points smarter now that he has Deshaun Watson, or 20 IQ points dumber, depending on how the Browns go this Sunday. And what I mean by that is that coaches with good quarterbacks are generally seen as being a lot smarter because they're more successful. And I get the feeling he's about to have an IQ infusion with Deshaun Watson starting to starting to play. And I put that comment up there by mistake. I am sorry about that. I am just out of control here. Let's talk a little bit about the Browns going into this game. Are you concerned at all? Browns are playing an opponent that is admittedly very bad. They just had a good game against the Bucks. They've got Deshaun Watson coming back, all this stuff. Are you concerned at all that this team might be, you know, a little more confident than they should be, that Houston might actually put up a fight against these guys if they aren't taking them as seriously as they should?
Well, this team hasn't won more than one game in a row this year. So they haven't had what you call a winning streak. You got to win at least two. So right. How about winning a second one? No, I mean, the Texans are bad. You look at their roster, they're bad. Kyle Allen, the only guy I can think of, is that the guy that quarterbacked against the Browns with the Broncos that year, or was that Brandon Allen?
I don't know. It was some Allen.
There was one guy, Brandon Allen, never started before.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
now with the Broncos, and I don't know if that – Kyle Allen might have been the backup for the Bengals. But either way, they moved on from Davis Mills and are putting their prospects with Kyle Allen. And so he threw two interceptions last week. The Browns have three interceptions all year. It'd be nice if they could get a couple and get that side of the deal going. But, I mean, Kevin Stefanski talked up Damian Pierce today a lot. I'm not playing fantasy football anymore, so I'm not following this stuff. But I never heard of the guy. I don't even know anything about him, to be honest with you. But he said he was a load and how awesome he was. You know, I heard of Brandon Cooks, O.J. Howard, but as far as, you know, they're scoring 15 points a game. I think the Browns can score more than that, even without, you know, Deshaun Watson. They've showed they can score points. And so their defense is on the other end. They're, you know, like 23rd in the league, giving up 24 a game. So defense isn't, they're a little better than the Browns statistically, but I think the Browns can outscore them. I think you can always – you always see that, you know, pretty quick. But I think there's too much – you know, with all this negativity in Houston about Watson coming there, I think there's also – we got our back to the wall that the rest of the Browns aren't going to just let number four go out there by himself. They're going to take – they're going to – we got your back, man. What better way to show that they've got his back than to go out and just beat the tar out of that team? That's what I said. I go out and put 50 on them, 50-0, you know, and walk out of there and go, okay, keep booing.
Right. You know? I'd love to see it. Lane Atkins, by the way, had some interesting comments in ATI on the question of whether the Texans might be headhunting for Deshaun Watson. If you're a subscriber, I suggest you check that out. Lane, very insightful as always. Let's talk a little bit before we go to questions from the chat room about the Browns' run defense. Appeared to be more successful against the Bucks. I'm a little bit skeptical because if you look at the box score, and maybe some of this was, you know, skewed by some early success, but it still looks like they got nearly five yards a carry against the Browns. They just went away from the run. You know, they have the greatest quarterback of all time, so I guess why not? You know, they felt some pressure to put the ball in the air. Do you think that the Browns' run defense played better, or do you think that the Bucs, like skeptical Barry says, just sort of made some strategic errors in terms of going away from it too quickly? Were you happy with the Browns' run defense?
Well, first of all, I can't believe that you and the word skeptical go together. You're skeptical every week about something. But as far as the defense, run defense, yeah, I think that the Browns didn't really shut them down. But I think when you have Tom Brady on your side, you kind of feel like, okay, let's just go to the air. We can, you know, we can make up for it. A 35-yard run right off the bat in the first series, you know, looked like it was going to be a long day again. But they did get back on track a bit. And so I think it was okay. Not what I want to see consistently, because I think that's what the Texans will try to do. I mean, if they got a big bruising back, they're just going to say, you know, hey, we don't want to give that offense the ball. Let's just try to, like we always say every week about the Browns, try right. to melt the clock and keep the other team from getting on the field. So, yeah, I think they need to continue to stress the run. I think the element of Watson, I've said it all year, I think they can put up more points with him on the board, and I think that you'll see as he gets more comfortable and gets – up to speed, that they will outscore opponents and get ahead, and teams will then play into the Browns' strength, which right. is good pass defense with Emerson and Newsom and Ward and those guys in the back end in the pass rush of Garrett and Clowney. That's what they're built for. But when you're playing from behind, you can't do that. And so by playing from ahead, I think they will force teams to throw the ball instead of run down their throat. So that's why I think the game plan is to get the lead and go from mm-hmm. there. And they couldn't always do that, you know, under Brissett. He did well, but he isn't a fast-acting quarterback. It's more of a methodical, you know, right. type of offense. So there you go with that. I think that they're going to – until they really can shut down – the running game, teams are going to go after that. But they showed signs, you know, it's just inconsistencies. One week yeah. you slow, next week you don't. So I think they have, you know, the Texans, you know, I hate to say that, you know, when a team comes in averaging 88 a game, 29th in the league in rushing, those are the ones you go look out, because – right. We saw that with the Falcons. We saw it with the Chargers. We saw it with, you know, the Dolphins. And just like, and even the Buccaneers, they came in at, I think they were 32nd last week. So they did better against them, but still gave up 96 yards. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think there was, you know, if you read Jack Duffin's article on, you know, stock up, stock down, he points out that there was some improvement in the defensive tackle play from Winfrey and Ben Still. I don't know if it's Still or Stilly, you know, the new defensive tackle that the Browns got from Miami. So, you know, maybe some hopeful signs there. Do you think Joe Woods' job is any safer this week than it was last week? Or do you think it all depends on the rest of the season?
I think it all depends on the rest of the season. And, you know, one of the things that I wrote in my – why those six games are important, you know, and so forth, is that a silver lining to me is that the defense was so bad. I mean, if we can't change anything, so it is what it is. The defense, everybody that watches it, you've given up 30 or more points in five of the first 11 games. And there's obviously things that need to be addressed more than just personnel wise, whether it be coaches right. or players. And so I think that regardless what they do the rest of the year on offense, that the defense will be addressed. Now, I don't know if that means firing the coach or if they just say we got to get better players for this system. I don't know. But it has exposed that you cannot just say our defense is good, because it's not. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of a silver lining in there. But as far as the one thing that I've said is, when you look at the Chiefs, the year they went to Super Bowl, I think it was 2020, they had a bad defense, but they were scoring 45, 47, 49 points a game, and they were winning games 42, 41, 45, 41. They just, if they got the ball last, they won the game, you know, and
right.
Then they went out and fixed their defense. Well, the Browns could be like that. And I think the danger would have been is if you score, you know, outscore your opponents. Like if Watson would have been playing all along, I know they would have won at least two other games. They definitely would beat the Jets, and they definitely right. would have, you know, either beat the Falcons or the Chargers, you know, or even the Ravens. And one of those games made you 5-6. Two made you, you know, 6-5, and you're in really pretty good shape. So with that said, they might have been a tendency to not think the defense was the problem if you're winning those games. But the defense is still the problem. It's right. been the problem. And so that's why I think that the rest of the way, even if the Browns, you know, do well in the final six games, that they cannot say, yeah, we don't have to really address the defense. I think anybody watching would say you need interior defensive linemen, you need a run-stopping, you know, linebacker, or like what we've said, go back and at least put on your roster two 350-pound nose tackles or defensive linemen that can take up space.
Right, right. Where's Ted Washington when you need him? Let's go to a question from Pat Shea, which was similar to the next question I was going to ask, and that was about special teams. You know, Joe Woods, obviously, in the public chopping block. Mike Prefer is as well. We're getting better returns from Jerome Ford and Donovan Peoples-Jones now. That portion of the special teams game has definitively improved. But are we more optimistic? You know, Pat asked about special teams other than the Cade York issue that we're facing right now. Have we seen improvement there overall, or is it just Jerome Ford, you know, showing up, in your opinion?
You know, it's hard for me to really, you can see, I mean, to me, the coaching is guys, you know, not lining up, not being out there properly, you know, being out of position, different things like that. But some of it is talent. Okay. If Jakeem Grant, the big free agent return specialist they signed, was playing and he had three returns for touchdowns and they're leading the league in return yardage, would everybody be yelling about Prefer? Well, that's what they right. signed the guy for, okay? And if you put me back there and I get no yardage, oh, he's terrible, you know? So I don't know how you judge that stuff. Right. Usually you're playing with the bottom of the roster guys on special teams. You know, they are the 40 to 53 guys, and every week you're trying to fill in, you know, those spots. And so you got new guys constantly, and they're usually, obviously they're not starting players. You think that, you know, the Browns have let go. In fact, I looked at the Texans roster. They got like four former Browns defensive players on right. their roster. Most of them are special teams. Eric Murray, MJ Stewart, Christian Kirksey's a starter, and I don't know, there's another one somewhere. But as far as, so you're working with guys that they're, you know, not specialists. And by the time they, you know, those guys were specialists, Taviar Thomas was the other one. They right. were, that's what they did for the Browns. Well, then they let them go. So you're trying to replace those guys with new guys, usually mm-hmm. rookies. So I don't know. I mean, it is hard to say. You know, all you can see is, yeah, the special teams defense has contributed to most of their losses this year. So right. just if you can identify that, You got to make a change if you have something better, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I
mean,
I would love to get Brant Boyer here. I mean, Brant Boyer, you know, special team coordinator for the Jets. He out-coached Prefer, in my opinion, you know, when they played the Jets,
mm-hmm.
the Browns, with that, you know, he had the – he did the fake punt, you know, and he did the onside kick successful and a bunch of things like that. And I haven't seen a lot of that out of Prefer, you know, like fake punts or anything, you know. It's just kind of like pretty nonchalant, nondescript. So, but unless you know you have an upgrade, you don't make a move. Some right. people say, well, anything's an upgrade, but I don't know about that.
All right, let's bring in Boyer. Let's bring in Jim Leonard from Wisconsin. And we've got Deshaun this year, and let's go for 2023. Come on, man. Let's go get him. All right. Let's go to some of the questions that we piled up over the last 40 minutes or so, and see if we can dig through them. Question, I think mostly rhetorical from Mr. Robinson here. He goes, so Watson was reinstated Monday, back at his first practice on Wednesday as a full-time starter, and the media wants him to talk. More important preparation to play and win on Sunday, or the media's story. Sort of a rhetorical question, but do you think that you know, just focusing on the game would be a reason that the Browns that you know, would hold him back from talking to the media and not wanting him to be distracted by all that?
Well, I think it could be. I think they could just say that, though, release a statement right. saying, you know, he's not going to talk this week for these reasons. I'm just saying every that's part of the deal, you know, and it's not going to go away. Do you think, okay, when you turn on your TV Sunday, do you think they're not going to say one word about Deshaun Watson's, you know, suspension or anything about what went on? Mm-hmm. It's going to be all they're talking about because that's the narrative, and they're always trying to fit the narrative. And so, yeah, I don't know what the best answer is. I just think it's kind of like you said earlier, rip the Band-Aid off, just face it and be done with it.
Right.
I mean, whether it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the most is going to be, unless I cannot believe they don't think or have enough faith that he can talk without saying something wrong. I mean, I don't know if I can't imagine they're afraid that he would say something that would get him in trouble again. You
right.
know, I know he got a lot of backlash for not apologizing again. And if he really doesn't think he's guilty of anything, he just needs to say no comment about any of those questions.
Right. Right. Yeah. Earlier this year, it didn't seem like he was all that prepared, you know. But at any rate, I'd much rather focus on the football side of things, and hopefully we can after this week. I am looking at additional comments, and we've still got a number of questions to plow through. Important question I know it's on everyone's mind is who would win an arm wrestling match between Fred and me? Really depends. I think it depends on two factors, Fred. First is whether it's right arm or left arm. I'm left-handed, so I think I'd get a shot at you if it was left arm. But the second thing is whether I was able to, like, stand up and put my weight into it. Because I think if I was able to put my weight into it, you'd have a very difficult time with that. But you wrestle deers in your free time, so, you know, you think you got a shot?
Yeah, I do. And I am left-handed myself. But
there goes my
strong
advantage.
My strong arm is my right hand. But anyway, yeah, I put down a 250-pound buck last week with my – I did not use my bare hands. I used my bow and arrow. But I wrestled him into my tractor.
There you go.
I got him on the ground.
I do nothing like that. I just lift beer cans, which helps a little bit, but it's nothing like wrestling a deer into the back of your vehicle. All right. So with that mystery resolved, Red Leader wants to know whether Watson looks rusty. Have you had a chance to see him throw it all, Fred, or have you just seen elements of stretching? And you know, have you been able to see Watson throw it all in individuals or not?
Yeah, you know, that's the one part we get to watch is after stretching. There's a 20-minute process. We see about 10 minutes of stretching, and then they go break up. They start out, quarterbacks are just amongst themselves. Then they throw to like the running backs, and then the tight ends, and the wide receivers. About that time, it breaks off and we go in. So we've just seen, they're not being covered by anybody. They're just running, kind of like out in the backyard. I go out for a pass, you throw it to me. No, I think he's looked fine. Everything I've seen, I think what they talk about rust is just game accuracy and game speed. And it's obviously different just running around and throwing it, with nobody covering you. But they said, he has been, he was Josh Allen in the week that they played, mm-hmm. the Bills. He was Tua the week they played the Dolphins. So they've said that being scout, that he is really, they've got a good look at him, the defenders. I mean, MJ Emerson said, he was making some plays that he could not believe he was throwing that only the receiver could get to, like on the back shoulder and different places like that, and made it very difficult to defend. And so, I mean, that's just kind of, in one of his first weeks, second weeks of practice with the whole team. So I can only go by what the players are saying, but I don't think they would be so enthusiastic. That you could tell there was a buzz in the locker room today. The guy, mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Chubb was even kind of smiling, and he hates these interviews with us. It is so painful. He's just like the PR guy. He looked at him and he had only answered 4 questions. And if you read his transcript, it was only like 1 sentence. I mean, they were all good, but he said, the PR said, okay. And that meant he's walked to his locker, It was like, wow. But I think that they are excited. I think that there's a new, and I think coming off the win, along with Watson coming back, I mean, if they do not come out ready to go, I don't know how you'd ever be ready to go, right. As far as you got us against the world going to Houston, you got the big overtime win, your backs are to the wall, not only with this situation, but your playoff opportunity. And you got an opponent that's 1-9-1, go put it away quick.
Exactly. I'm much more excited for this 1 o'clock Sunday start than I was 45 minutes ago. I'm getting jazzed about this. Fumble 13 writes, I keep hearing that Hunt has lost a step or just isn't himself. Why haven't we seen more of De'Ernest Johnson then? That's an interesting question. Or Jerome Ford, who seems to be a very intriguing young running back. Why do we keep trotting Hunt out there when he hasn't been quite as successful as you might have hoped?
I don't know. I get, and being around Kevin Stefanski just seems very loyal, mm-hmm. Like he never pulls anybody, like even quarterback, even with Baker Mayfield, when you see now how little value they really had for him, that they were going to move on from him, that he never really replaced Mayfield last year when he had Keenum there,
right.
He's getting paid. And I think, Hunt, we know, was displeased that he didn't get traded. He was upset in training camp that he didn't get a new contract. And I almost feel like, that they're looking at it. I don't want to rock the boat. I think that if they get eliminated from the playoffs, then I could see them, start implementing, Johnson or Ford, either one of them.
Right.
probably more so Ford, because they know Johnson's a free agent as well as Hunt. And I really think they drafted Ford with the hope that he could be the backup running back, you know, next year. And if he shows that he's everything they thought he was, then they would, you know, then they could move on from both those guys.
Right. Right. Okay. let's move on to this question from Steve Norris on YouTube. And Steve asks, if the Browns jump out to a big lead, do you feel Watson will still get all the snaps in the game just to get the reps? Or will they sit him down and let us witness the machinations of Jacoby Brissett or Kellen Mond?
Yeah, I heard some talk about that today. I think they're going to play him as much as they can. I mean, yeah. I don't think they want to be stupid. I mean, if they're ahead 35-0, I don't know if it does him good just to be handing the ball off. But I think by the same token, you want him to sharpen as well as possible. I think it's how it goes. I mean, if he's still seeming to be struggling at any point, even with a big lead, if they did have a big lead, it's hard for me to believe that he would be struggling if they have a big lead.
Right.
But I think they'll play him as much as they can, but I don't think they'll put him in harm's way. I mean, if there's an overeager young defender on the Texans that, you know, is headhunting or something like that, I could see him taking him. You know, taking him out of the game. But, you know, it is interesting. Yeah, Josh Dobbs, the backup, one play away from entering every game this year as the backup quarterback, got cut.
Right.
To keep Kellen Mond. And I thought they would try to bring Dobbs back to the practice squad, but have not seen that. As they added a guy today, they have, I don't know if they're up to 16 or not. I didn't add them all, but
right.
Anyway, it is interesting. Kellen Mond has a contract issue where he's under contract for a couple more years, and so they didn't want to lose out on him. They must have seen enough to think right. He can be the backup quarterback if Dobbs is not here next year.
Yeah, again, Brad Steinbrück had a Rumor Central item on that, on why it was Mond instead of Dobbs, that I think is of interest. Pee Wee's Dog Pound from YouTube asks, I have a question and would like an unbiased answer. Well, that's what you're going to get here, most likely. Out of the 4-7 teams, Raiders, Steelers, Colts, Jags, and Browns, who has the best chance to make a playoff push? You got a take on that, Fred?
Yes. I think the Browns, I mean, the Browns have only beaten themselves to this point. As well as Brissett played, the defense has been the problem, but still the offense scoring 24 points a game. I think Deshaun Watson in the lineup is worth at least 3 points a game, at least. Mm-hmm. And that wins the Jets game, the Chargers game. It ties the Ravens and the Falcons game. It ties. So you have 4 games you lost by 9 points. If you can't, if you don't think they would have won at least 2 of those games, you're crazy.
Right.
With Watson, right. The quarterback. They win 2 of those games. They're 6-5 right now, and they're right there. And so it is what it is. They're 4-7.
Right.
A lot of reasons why, but it did expose the shortcomings that could easily be glossed over with a win, with wins. But I think they have a chance to win 4 or 5, maybe even all 6 games. The only way I think they make the playoffs for sure is to go 6-0. But in the NFL, that just doesn't happen. You know, right. It just seems like you lose a game, you should win.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think that if they stick to their one game at a time mantra, I don't see a team on the schedule that I think they can't beat.
Now, right.
They can get beat by like all of them, but I don't I'm not scared of any of these teams they're playing. I feel they're all winnable games. It's just their want to. And we'll see if Watson's arrival increases their want to, because the defense just seems to be all about that. How bad do they want it? When they want it, they play well. We saw them play the Bengals, you know, on mm-hmm. that Monday night game. We saw against the Buccaneers. We've seen them play well. And it almost seems like when they want to, they can. So if they showed up every week and can hold a team to 20 or less, I think the Browns have a really good chance of running the table. But
that would be incredible. That would be incredible. Can you imagine this town if this team actually does run the table? You know, Andrew predicted that in our round table that we did earlier in the week, leading to a lot of comments about, you know, whether an OBR has a drug policy or not. Would be incredible if they were able to do that. But again, like you said, in the NFL, any team can beat any team any weekend, it seems. So good question from Pee Wee's Dog Pound. Thank you for that. Let me shut that one down. Comment from Dogbone 42 that we are missing Cookie and that they would like to bring Cookie back. Would you like to see Cookie back, Fred? Do you enjoy the barking during the show, the random yapping of a small, annoying dog?
No comment.
It is just so professional on my part to have a small yapping dog throughout the show. Another comment from Paul Spencer question. He says, I think Cooper and Njoku are going to put up big numbers with Watson under center. They very well might. You think guys like Schwartz, Bell, and Hunt will also see their fortunes rise? Who do you think is out of that group, Fred? Who do you think will be a big beneficiary of Deshaun Watson taking over quarterback?
Might be a under the radar guy, but I think Anthony Schwartz. He's got mm-hmm. speed, and he can run the bomb, and you have a guy that can get it to him and get it to him quick. And so, you know, Watson has that dual threat. That what do you always worry about when you play the Ravens? Lamar Jackson running, and Josh Allen, and the Browns have done pretty good in containing those, but it's Watson can throw the ball very accurately as well as run. And so if you think you got everybody covered, he takes off. So there's going to be guys in the cracks. And if I'm on defense, a guy like Schwartz might not get the top guy in coverage. You know, they can only cover so many guys. You got their top guy in Cooper or Njoku or Peoples Jones. I mean, Schwartz can't get open on the fourth, fifth, sixth guy, you know, or David Bell, guys like that. I think that he will make a lot of the receivers look better. And people might be saying, oh, that guy's not that bad. He's pretty good.
Right. Right. Well, you've got a number of people on the defense who will be keeping an eye on the backfield as well to see if there's any running that might happen from the quarterback. And that's going to affect things too. So it's going to be very interesting. Another question from Pat Shea. Do we know how bad Miles' shoulder is? You know, he's apparently had an issue with it, but full participation in practice, I don't know. Maybe he rested, but they didn't list the shoulder as an issue. Do we know anything about that, Fred?
Well, he didn't practice today. It was rest, but he did injure the shoulder. He said after the game, he was asked, what's the pain? You know, you get the hospital 1 to 10. He said 9.
Right.
He said it's not going to keep him from playing. Well, you tell this was an injury he suffered in that car accident.
Right.
And I've been told he needs surgery on the shoulder, but he's going to wait till after the season. But yeah, I mean, he's showing he doesn't want to be denied, you know, playing. And yeah, I think it's just something he's living with. He's in a lot of pain, but you saw him, you know, he went off the field with his shoulder hanging, but he came back and had a big sack in the game on Brady in overtime. So, you know, that's one of the consequences of driving 150 miles an hour, or whatever he was doing, or 95 or whatever, considering the alternative. But yeah. No, I think he'll play. He was at Stefanski said, "Do you ever think about having him sit out a game to get better, you know?" And he said, "Well, we'll see, you know, whatever." So I took that. I think Garrett's just saying, "I'm not sitting out, but we'll see." If you're going to sit out a game, this seems to be like one you could, but he might look at it as, "No, I want to get a couple more sacks."
Yeah, exactly. He's got a still got a shot at some potential postseason awards and things like that. You know, he's got, of course, he wants to play for wins for the team as well. So he's out there regardless of the shoulder and contributing, obviously, during key times as he did against the Bucks. Well, we are about out of time here. We still have some questions left. I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to all of them. Great questions as always. Great interaction from the chat room.
Because you brought up the cookie one.
That's absolutely right. My judgment is an active question. But I had to get the cookie reference in. I'm sorry. But at any rate, thank you, everyone, for your comments, your questions, your participation in the program, despite my hosting of it. And we hope to see you again next Wednesday on the Rock of the OBR video lineup, OBR Weekly, next Wednesday at 7 p.m. In the meantime, we will be on the site going crazy throughout this entire week and weekend. During the game, we'll have pre- and post-game shows that you'll want to check out. And hopefully Fred will feel better by the next time we talk. So thanks again for your insight, Fred. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.